Devam, thus, viharahai, with pastimes, komarahai, of boyhood, komaram, the childhood age up to 5 years, jahatahu, they passed, braje, in the land of Vrindavana, Nilayanahai, with sports of chasing about. Setubandahai, with the building of bridges. Markata utplavanda, with the jumping around of monkeys. Adabihi, and so on. In translation, in this way the boys spent their childhood in the land of Vrindavana, playing hide and seek, playing, building play bridges, jumping around about like monkeys, and engaging in many other such games. You can repeat. In this way, the boys spent their childhood in the land of Vrindavana, playing hide and go seek, building play bridges, jumping about like monkeys, and engaging in many other such games. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, according to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the word malai and ahai refers to games such as hide and go seek, or cops and robbers, or dacoits. Sometimes the boys would jump around like the monkeys in Lord Ramchandra's army and then enact the building of the bridge to Sri Lanka by constructing play bridges in lakes or ponds. Sometimes the boys would imitate the pastime of churning the ocean of milk, and sometimes they would play catch with balls. We can find full pleasure in the spiritual world with the simple condition that everything be performed in pure love of Godhead, Krishna consciousness. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. So, evam vihare komarai komaram jahatur bhje ilayanai situ bandar markatot plavanadibhi. So, omagana Mirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tosmai Shri Gurve Namaha. So these different pastimes the coward boys performed prove, along with some other pastimes I'm going to tell in a few seconds, prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his activities as other incarnations are done by the same person, but in different manifestations. They take chunks of Kalakpum Sa, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. So in the appearance of Krishna, you find Krishna playing, even when he appears in Vrindavan, playing his different pastimes in different as different avatars or different incarnations. But you don't find, on the other hand, the different incarnations playing the pastimes of Krishna. In other words, there's no instance of Lord Nrisimhadev playing with his flute and making believe he was Krishna. Or Lord Ram making believe he was Krishna and dancing with gopis. Or Lord Varaha. Anyway, you get the idea. So, but you have Krishna manifesting his different pastimes as in his various incarnations. And one pastime that comes to mind is quite interesting. It's in a place called Kamyavan in Braj. Kamyavan means the forest of desire. That's actually where Vrindadevi is. It's interesting that before I tell the story, when the Muslims attacked Braj first they took the deities to protect them to the Radhakund area, and then after that they took them further west to Jaipur, Udaipur, and other places. And they tried to move Brinda Devi out of Braj, but she wouldn't move. She stayed in Kamyavan. So anyway, so in this Kamyavan, there is a lake called the Setu Bandha Kund. Anyone's heard the story before? No. Anyway. Some of you may have heard part of the story. But it's called Setu Bandha Kund, right, which is right part of Kamyavan. And then there's actually a a bridge across the Kund that's made with rocks. And the story of how that bridge was made is quite interesting. Once upon a time, Krishna, this part of the story you probably know, Krishna and the gopis, they were in this area of Kamyavan, and Krishna said to the gopis, actually, I'm Lord Ram. And the gopi said, that's ridiculous. You're not Lord Ram, you're just a little coward boy. You're just like, you know, just calm down, Krishna, basically. Chant Hare Krishna. Of course, they didn't say chant Hare Krishna. So calm down, and Krishna said, no, I'm Ram. If you don't believe me, I'll show you. I'll build a bridge across this Kund. Because the gopis and the coward boys, they wanted to get across the Kund. It was quite a large Kund at that particular juncture. And they wanted a bridge. And the gopis said, no, that's not going to be good enough. If you're actually Lord Ram, you have to have monkeys build a bridge. So then Krishna played his flute. And he called all of the monkeys. And at that time, actually, there were different types of monkeys, not only the rhesus monkeys that you find at Vrindavan, but also the Hanuman monkeys, the bigger monkeys. You seen the Hanuman monkeys? No. Some of you have been in Vrindavan. They're called langurs. And they're bigger than human beings, basically. And they've been known to carry off little babies sometimes of human beings. So you got to be careful if you're going to bring your baby to Vrindavan. So they're different monkeys. So Krishna, he called for the monkeys, and the monkeys built a bridge across this Kund, which is now called Setu Bandha Kund. Setu Bandha means the bridge, basically. And of course, that's the original Setu Bandha, is the bridge from India to Lanka that was made by the monkey Lord Ramchandra's monkeys and bears and spiders. You know, there are actually spiders kicking dust. And it's interesting, Prabhupada commented about his own disciples. He called them his monkeys. Monkey disciples, anyway. Western monkey disciples, anyway. So hopefully we're not so much monkeys anymore. So this is a story of, I think there's like an indirect reference to this. But there's other things that occurred in Krishna's pastimes that show that he was actually the same person as Nrisingadev and Bara and everything like that. You know, there's that famous story of when Krishna was taking rest one night and he asked his mother to read him a bedtime story. You know, many of us, of course, when I was young, my mother would read me bedtime stories too, not from Krishna book, but, you know, things like Goldilocks and, you know, what Hansel and Gretel and nonsense stories like that. So, actually, when we first joined the Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees to read every night the Krishna book stories. So I remember sitting around, and Apurvaji would remember that, and of course, Trishna Prabhu would remember that, sitting around at night right before we took rest and sipping hot milk with bananas in it. You remember that? Had to be bananas and a little, sometimes cardamom and a little cinnamon and other things like that. And sometimes pistachios, too. And then sipping that and hearing Krishna book at night, and it was just like a really warm, fuzzy feeling, taking rest in such a fashion. Nowadays, of course, everybody checks their mobile phones and texts before they go to sleep. And that's why they can't sleep at night. So, but in those days, we used to sleep quite well, and we'd talk about Krishna. We'd wake up, we'd dream about Krishna. So Krishna's the same way. You know, Krishna likes to hear about his pastimes before he takes rest at night. So what happened is that once upon a time, Mother Yashoda decided to tell Krishna about his incarnation as Lord Ram. And especially, she was telling him about the story of Ram killing Ravan. You know, Ram pulling out his bow and stringing the bow and killing Ravan. It's an interesting story in the Ramayana. I'll just, anyway, because I'm reading the Ramayana practically every day. Now, for about an hour, I'm reading the Ramayana because I'm in Maya. So, interesting story in the Ramayana that before Ram encountered the Rakshasas and started killing them, Sita Devi was so, let's say, soft-hearted, she didn't want Ram to kill the Rakshasas. You know, she saw Ram stringing his bow, getting ready to protect the sages and kill the Rakshasas, and Sita Devi said, it's not nice. Basically, let me see if I can remember the whole story. She said, yes, now that you have this bow, the bow will actually invoke in you some qualities that are not so desirable. I'm not saying demoniac qualities, because once one has a weapon in their hands, then it actually encourages one to act impiously. You can try that. I mean, you put a gun in your hand and you just immediately go, boom, boom, dead, you know. You may not shoot someone, but you really get into it. I remember when I was young, we had these toy guns. So Sita Devi said, that's going to happen to you. And she began to preach to Lord Ram. She told Lord Ram. So there's another point that even Sita Devi was not submissive in like the material sense that you have about, you know, submissive chaste wives. You know, sometimes people think, well, chaste wives should just be submissive and don't talk unless you're asked a question or given permission to talk. It's like when you're in grade school, you have to raise your hand to talk. So people have that conception about submissive wife. But she actually talked without being asked to talk, and she sort of chastised Lord Ram. She said to Lord Ram that you're going to be encouraged to engage in impious activities like killing Rakshasas. Rakshasas that haven't attacked you. Excuse me. Yeah, and she told a story about once upon a time there was a sage. And this sage was very austere, you know, very pure, very austere. And the demigods got worried. What was their worry? Their worry was that he was performing austerities in order to take their positions in the heavenly planets. So what the demigods did, in this case, another case is they just send down a beautiful girl. But in this particular case, Apsara. But in this particular case, Indra came down and he said to this sage, I have this very special bow. Can you keep it safe for me? So he gave it to the sage. And just by holding the bow, the sage started to develop very cruel qualities. It's a fact, when you hold a weapon, it's just like, gets to you after a while. It's the modes of nature. Anyway, and then the sage fell down, and Indra and the demigods were happy. So, getting back to the story about Krishna. So, Yashoda Mai was telling Krishna a bedtime story about Lord Ram killing Ravan, and then Krishna just like became inspired and entered into that same mood. And he jumped up on his bed. And he grabbed, I guess he had a play bow or something like that, and said, get me, kill that Ravan! Kill him! Ah, you demon! And Yashoda Mai was just, oh my God! Oh. So, anyway, so there was Krishna in the mood of one of his other incarnations. Another time that happened, I mean, I got so many stories about this. Another time that happened is that once upon a time, Krishna And Dwarka wanted to see Hanuman. There's also a famous story that's from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He wanted to see Hanuman. And he sent a message with Garuda, Krishna, Dwarkadish would like to see you. And Hanuman said, you know, I ain't going anywhere. I'm just following Lord Ram, you know. And he understood the Siddhanta that Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, but still his whole mood of devotion was based upon concentration, meditation, and following the orders of Sri Ram. And this is the chastity of a devotee towards a particular manifestation of God. It's interesting. Even though he may know that all the different manifestations of God are the same person, Advaita, Tuta, Anadya, Rananta, Rupa, Madhyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanam, Cha. There's one God. And he assumes a variety of forms. So Guru Nguyen and Hanuman said, I ain't going. Go back, big bird. And Garuda said, no, you're coming with me. And Hanuman sort of flicked his tail, and Garuda went flying head over tails back to Krishna and Dwarka. And then what happened is that, of course, this was also planned to make Garuda humble. You know, sometimes he's thinking, without me, Krishna can't go anywhere. Krishna's dependent on me. You know, sometimes he has this, it's a pastime, he's a pure devotee, he has this ahankara. It's not really ahankara, but it's a manifestation under Yogamaya. So then Krishna said to Garuda that, tell Hanuman that, who's that? Okay. Tell Hanuman that Sita and Ram want to see him. And so Krishna assumed the form of Ram. And Rukmini assumed the form of Sita Devi. And then Hanuman gladly came and under his own power, of course. And then he saw, there's my Lord. So this is another proof, you know, of Krishna's two Bhagavan's way, using stories. And another proof of Krishna, several proofs, of Krishna's being connected to his other incarnations is that you have Ram. Okay. Ram was in the forest. You can see I'm reading the Ramayana. And somehow that's the benefit of jet lag. You wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you understand it's Maya to read the news. To find out what happened with the South Carolina primary, you know. So then you just automatically pick up the Ramayana. So Ram was in the forest, and when he was in the Dandakaranya forest, first he went to Chitrakoot, and then he went to Dandakaranya after that. Dandakaranya means the forest of austerities, Danda. You know, the stick, where you're meant to execute austerities. So Ram and Sita were in the Dandakaranya forest, and lo and behold, this beautiful lady with a beer belly, Sarpanaka, it's described that she had a beer belly, you know. I don't know if she drank beer, but, you know, she really had a belly. That's why later on, Lakshman said to Sarpanaka that Ram will soon forget his sunken waist wife, you know. You know, the Sita, she was Sumajima. Sumajima means good middle. And Sarpanaka was Duramajima, a bad middle. Anyway. Sorry about that one. So Sarpanaka approached Ram. You all know the story. And she fell in love with Ram, wanted to marry Ram, and then Ram sent her to Lakshman. Lakshman sent her back to Ram. Then she discovered that She was being made fun of, and she tried to kill Sita Devi, and then Lakshman did an operation on her. A nosectomy, an earectomy. His original doctor. So, and then she ran away screaming, of course, and ultimately she influenced Ravan to kidnap Sita Devi. So you would think, you know, that's the end of Sripanaka. Okay, end of Sripanaka, end of story, finished, demon, etc. So, you know, next birth, because she was in love with Krishna in the form of Ram, she was able to basically have a conjugal relationship with Krishna later on. Not with Ram. When Krishna appeared and he went to Mathura, one of the first things he saw after cutting off the washerman's head with his hand, it's described when Krishna went to Mathura, he didn't even need a Sudarshan Chakra to cut off the washerman's head. He used his hand. Because the washerman wouldn't give him clothes. So anyway, so then he ran into this nice lady, hunchback lady, Sripanaka. And Sripanaka, I'm thinking they are the same person, Kubja, was Sripanaka, but Kubja. And he teased her a little bit. He said, oh, beautiful girl, and she thought, you know, he was just making fun of her. And he asked for the sandalwood that she was carrying for Kamsa. And what happened is she gave him the sandalwood, she gave it to Balaram, and Krishna straightened her up. And then, acting as her naturally lusty self, she started pulling on Krishna's dhoti. I mean, that's pretty embarrassing. Never happened to me, thank God. So, yeah, you're pulling on Krishna's dhoti or clothes, whatever the clothes were. And then Krishna, after he killed Kamsa and everything, he actually went to her house. And it's described that on the walls of her house there were pictures that would incite lusty desires. This is in the Krishna book, it's not my imagination. So, it's, you know, basically, it's Sripanaka with the same mood that she had before. It is very, very lusty. And Krishna purified her. Her approach to Krishna was not exactly, you know, on the pure spiritual platform, but Krishna purified her. Akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, dharadi, tivrena, bhakti yogena, yajeta, purushamparam. That if one wants something, free of desire, full of desire, or desirous of liberation, one should approach Krishna enthusiastically. I'm not saying that the lady should just like have this lusty attitude towards Krishna, but she got purified. So that's another instance of, you know, the mix of the different incarnations, which we were talking about before, proving Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, or proving that all these incarnations are the same person. Anyway, there's many other stories about this. Oh, of course, there's the story of Putana. Okay, that's the final story. No, I actually have two more stories. You have the story of Putana. Previously, she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, of course, was doing his sacrifice, and he had taken the heavenly kingdom. And Lord Vamana appeared to bring the heavenly kingdom back to Indra, etc. So Vamana comes to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj and Bali Maharaj's sister. She looks at Vamana, and he's very cute. And she manifests a maternal attraction towards him. She just looks at him and says, wow. You know, sometimes you see a little baby, not me, but sometimes you, the lady, you see a little baby and say, oh, it's so cute. You know, ladies do that, just like, there was a picture of one of my disciples who saw a baby calf and kissed the calf on the lips, you know. You know, just ladies get into these things sometimes. So she... won't mention who it was. There's a picture of it. Anyway, so basically she sees this. It's not a baby, of course. It's, you know, dwarf Brahmin, Vamadeva. And she thinks, how cute. Oh, I would like to adopt him. I'd like to have him as my little son. And then what happens is that Vamana pulls his tricks and takes everything away from her brother. And she gets angry and she thinks, well, he may be my son, but I'm going to kill him. So fast forward, next birth. She appears as little Putana. You know, Putana, the lady with poison on her breasts. And she tries to kill Krishna, but Krishna kills her, obviously, sucking the life air and the poison out from her. But Krishna accepts the motherly affection that she has, too. It's like a mixed thing, you know. So Krishna purifies. That's really called dovetailing one's attachments. Or you have to sukriti or something like that. You know, you dovetail your hate towards God. So Krishna purifies her and he accepts her and then she goes back to home, back to God, which is different than practically all the other demons who entered into the Brahman effulgence and, you know, eventually came back as God knows what. But she goes back to home, back to Godhead. Wow. Amazing. And then actually maybe the final story I'll tell is a story in Lord Nityananda's pastimes. When Lord Nityananda was a little boy, then he used to generally play the pastimes of Krishna and Ram, especially the Ram pastime that he was playing as mentioned in the Chaitanya Mangala and Chaitanya Bhagavat, that he entered into the mood of Lakshman to such an extent that when the Shakti Shila weapon was fired, actually it was in the Ramayana it mentions it was fired by Indrajit, not by Ravan. And in the Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavad, it mentions that Ravana fired it. But anyway, whatever it was. So when the Shakti Shila weapon was fired, then Lakshman was knocked unconscious or practically dead. Of course, Lakshman has a spiritual body. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We understand that. You know, the Chaturvyuh expansions, you know, Ram, Lakshman, Bart, Shatrughna. So he was knocked unconscious and everybody tried to bring him back into consciousness and he would not come back into consciousness until another boy who had been instructed to play the part of Hanuman made believe that he was flying to the mountain to get the Mrityu Sanjeevani. And so he came back and he put it under, I guess he used some grass or something like that, and he put it under Lord Nityananda's nose, and Lord Nityananda came back into external consciousness. So you'll find a lot of these different stories of these mixtures of the Lord's expansions and the Lord's pastimes in various incarnations. And this pretty much proves that there's one God and he just acts in different ways according to the circumstances and he is the enjoyer of rasa. That's why one of the names of Krishna is Rasa Raj. Rasa means the different tastes. Not only the tastes of the five primary rasas, you know, like the Shantaras, Dasharas, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, but also the taste of the seven indirect rasas, like anger, chivalry, humor, like that. Isn't it? Ghastliness. Like when you have Parashuram, you know, creating lakes of blood. I mean, you can't get more ghastly than that. I remember one time the doctor was taking a little blood from me, I fainted. So imagine a whole lake of blood, it's pretty disgusting. So you have all these, so Krishna's enjoying all these things, he's the supreme enjoyer, and here, In this particular verse, it's described how Krishna is with his coward boyfriends, playing about some of his previous pastimes, and just enjoying life in this way. And that's what the spiritual world is like, just enjoyment. So hopefully one day we can go back there and enjoy. But right now, we can enjoy, maybe not building a bridge to Sri Lanka, because Prabhupada said, with a big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumpy melancholy, you know, you can't do that. But in our own way, we can take part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, the Sangirtan pastime of preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada indicated that the preaching, whether we call it a book distribution or Krishna West or Krishna East or Krishna North or South or Southeast or Southwest, just bringing people to Krishna's lotus feet, that is actually, and Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, that's actually a pastime, and it's a very playful pastime. Those of us who have gone on traveling Sankirtan, like Trishna Prabhu was talking about his traveling Sankirtan days yesterday in the Radha Damodar party. And there were, you know, obviously things that weren't completely spiritual in our minds at that particular point. Because we mentioned that one of the reasons we all stayed on the road was not to come back to the temple where the ladies were. So that's not exactly a spiritual mentality. But still, the distribution of literature, the preaching of Krishna consciousness, or when I was traveling, I never traveled with the Radha Damodar party, but I traveled with Rita Nandamaraj in the party called the Bhagavad Discourse Party. This is before the book, the library party was started. We go around to different places and hold discourses, and in order to get bookings for him to preach, I would actually make up stories like, we have found this yogi in the Himalayas who had not eaten and who, for like 10 years, and he knew how to levitate. And we got pretty big honorariums. He would always ask me, you know, what are we going to do when we show up and they ask me to levitate? I said, don't worry. And they never did. So, I mean, all that is part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Prabhupada preaching is part of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's pastimes. So we can actually be part of this and enjoy spiritual life in this way. So any questions or comments? We got 2 more minutes. Yeah, he said, yes, if someone says they're following me, I'm just paraphrasing, they have to do as I'm doing. He didn't actually. I was making up that story to get him preaching engagements. I mean, those are the old days where you could say. All right.
He was killed
because
of it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a different issue.
Human species has abilities.
Yeah, actually, yogis have many abilities. Like in Radhanath Maharaj's book, you find that he's with the Nagababas in the forest, and he wakes up one morning to find them all floating in the air. That's pretty shocking.
There is a story of when Prabhupada went to
Kumbh Mela. Yeah.
And someone said, if you want to see my guru, he can walk on water. He said, what do you think? Prabhupada said, I think it's worth 5 pice.
Yeah, take a
point. The real miracle is I can take the ledges and make them devotees.
Yeah, hippies to happies, as Prabhupada said. I mean, that's a real transformation. And, of course, Rupa Goswami describes this as like a type of alchemy. By the process of devotional service, just like you could take a bell metal and transform it into gold. And actually, Prabhupada told us what the process was to do that. You have to drink mercury and then urinate on it. But you have to be alive. in order to do that. So just like an expert alchemist can take bell metal and transform it to gold, the same way a devotee such as Srila Prabhupada can take the bell metal-like living entities, the dull living entities, and transform them into devotees of Krishna. And so that was Prabhupada's miracle. So anyway, this is a pastime. This Krishna conscious movement is a pastime of Krishna. As long as we remain strict in following Srila Prabhupada. It's not that anything we do is a pastime. But it's when we remain strict and are dedicated to the service of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, this is one of Krishna's pastimes. Okay? On that happy note,